St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday to you. It's supposed to get a little sunnier a little bit later on. KMOX Day returns to Busch Stadium on Wednesday, May 8th, with the purchase of a special theme ticket. You're going to take home an exclusive KMOX Cardinals bobblehead with our buddy Ricky Horton, the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, with a special VIP ticket. You get the bobblehead and you get access to an exclusive pregame meeting and a meet and greet with John and Ricky. Pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. You'll enjoy that too. Yeah. Those two guys are the best.
They're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really good.
So Amy confused me today.
No,
so
I had the right information.
So you have the theme ticket gets you the bobblehead, but then there's an additional VIP ticket, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
For the meet and greet.
I called it a meeting and greet.
That's what the copy says, to be fair.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
You pulled a Ron Burgundy.
Yeah. Let's go.
And it's like, if you write it, I'm going to read it.
She will read it.
You can.
I'm very literal.
Join them for a meeting and greet. It's just like a regular meeting. Everyone says hi and then leaves.
Like, what do you have today? I just have to go to a stupid greet.
No meeting, just a greet.
Just a greet. sad news for Dave Glover Show OGs out there. Dr. Michael Lynch, who created Paranormal Tuesday along with me way back in 2001, has passed away.
Oh,
very sad.
Passed away suddenly. I'm going to cry. He was such a huge part of the show. How much of Dr. Lynch did you get to be a part of?
Years and years and years.
Okay.
Like, well over a half decade.
Yeah, he was just the best. He was kooky and crazy and lovable. He and I had a couple of falling outs, and even those were hilarious. The first one, he set me up to talk to a really good friend of his, an unknown podcast didn't exist back then. I don't know what he was doing, but it was Alex Jones.
Oh boy.
And Alex Jones had been to the Bilderbergs and took pictures of the owl and stuff like that.
He jumped into, what's it called, Bohemian Grove. Yeah. That's what he first got famous for.
So I was interviewing him about that, and I wasn't ready for Alex Jones, right? And he was nobody, but he was good friends with Dr. Lynch, and I was just making fun of him. And Lynch got so mad that he stood up and walked out, and we didn't speak for 8 months.
Oh, wow.
And then I used to go to this place called Colossus all the time, this Greek place, which was across from Killer Vintage Guitars. And he said, I'll meet you there at noon. Okay. So he shows up. He got an iced tea tumbler full of ouzo, and he downed it and he slams it on the table and he goes, Houston will be hit by a major hurricane in the next 5 days. And he walked off.
What?
And it was hit with a major hurricane within 5 days. And that's just how he was. He was just,
wow.
He was just bigger than life. My favorite story of all time though about him is my very first Halloween show. And, 24 years doing this, and you do anything long enough and things become legendary, and the DGS Halloween show has become legendary nationally, and paranormal people out there love it. And, you know, we went to the Exorcist house and all these places. And the very first one we did was at the Limp Mansion, and the whole thing was based on my love of the movie The Ghost of Mr. Chicken, where Don Knotts is challenged to spend the night in a haunted house. So we got six people together, and the Limp just limped it out. It was so Limp Mansion. It was so Scooby-Doo. Mm. And so at midnight, we were going to drink a toast, and I marked one of the glasses with a little dot. And so Ranji would find out that he's the one spending the night. And we recruited chickens. We recruited people who were self, you know, like identifying as they're scared of their own shadow. So for about 3 hours, me and Lynch and a couple of other people took them on a tour of the mansion and talked about all of the deaths there and all the hauntings. And these people are getting scared. And we're about an hour away from whoever's going to spend the night. And we walk up into one of the bedrooms. Lynch had gotten away from me. And we walked up into one of the bedrooms. And we walk in, me and the six, and there stands Michael Lynch. And he's dressed like a Cylon from Battlestar Galactica. Like, every part of his body is covered in, like, a scuba suit, and there's wires everywhere. And he's wearing what at one point had to be a scuba mask, but it's been modified so that there's a light going back and forth across it. And it's just like, and I'm like, okay, so now we're into this. And the people, everyone's just dead silent, and he's just moving slightly to the left and slightly to the right. And he, swear to God, because there are a bunch of people there to verify this, he goes, with this mask, I can see in seven strata of light. Nothing escapes my sight. And he turns around. He trips on an ottoman. He face plants, and the whole thing just busts open. He's like, oh!
Come on.
It was, and now my very scared people are dying laughing. I was so mad at him. I was, that was our relationship. We were like brothers. I was just so mad. And everything, we did all those Halloween shows together and all those Paranormal Tuesdays. So condolences to his family.
I say, nothing escapes my gaze to myself about four times a week. About four times a week, I can't help it.
Over an ottoman.
That is so funny.
Yeah. And even I was like, maybe this stuff's real. I don't know. He's seeing spooks and spirits and vapors. I can see everything but tufted furniture.
Well, that's so far down. So close to the floor.
It was so impressive. It had to take him 30 minutes to put all that stuff on.
Oh, no.
It was just great.
Your peripheral vision in that.
Everything about him, though, was like that. Everything about him was just larger than life. My band played at the Duck Room one time, and he and his beautiful wife came, and they came from some sort of a... he was dressed like the Monopoly Man. He was in like a tux with a top hat, a literal top hat, and a cane.
No monocle.
And I'm just like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, we had an event.
Yeah, we had him on for New Year's Eve one time. And he showed up, and I'm guessing you must have been off because it was New Year's Eve. And he showed up in that exact same kind of setup. He had a coat with a tail and like a cane that he was twirling. And he was like, "Oh, I'm on my way to a..."
Well, anyone out there in social media who has good memories of Mike, put him out there. Like the Halloween stuff. I'm sure his family would love to see that. I saw something very interesting over the weekend. It was a person who is making the argument that we should be much, much lazier, that the best apex predators on the planet, the most successful species, do almost nothing. And you think about like lions in the savannah, that they spend 99% of their time just laying on each other in a big, you know, puppy pile. And then they see a gazelle. They're like, you hungry? I'm hungry. You hungry? Yeah, let's go. They chase it down. They kill it. They gorge themselves. They go back to laying around. And the human person was making the point that we should be more like that. That the whole on high alert all the time, always trying to work, always trying to get stuff done. Mark Wahlberg getting up and, you know, working out at 2 a.m, like, nope, you're doing it wrong. Bursts. That's what you need. How's that hit you? Because I love it.
Well, I mean,
I love to unpack.
I love it.
It's funny because I just saw a thing, and I don't know if it's accurate or not because I didn't go through, but it was a person from another country talking about the amount of vacation days that people get on average in all these different countries. And a lot of them are like 30 paid vacation, 50 paid vacation. And we are by far the worst at 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it fits that. It's like, it's just been instilled in us. And yeah, there's innovation that comes out of it, but I'm not sure we're better off because we're like this all the time.
Yeah. I think the first part of that, like the idea is correct. You can get more done in less time. You don't need to be always on. Like, there is something to be said for recovery, for being calm, and then being more productive because you are that, as opposed to always being on and then getting dragged down and worn down and all that. But I hate the analogy because the big cats, they have one thing to think about in their entire world, and that is, when do I eat next? They have no predators. Nothing's coming after them. They live out in the open. They don't need a house.
Predators.
Right. What's that?
So, like, we have predators.
Well, each other.
Like, they literally they don't need a house. They don't need a car. They don't need any of... All they need is food. That's literally all they need is food and water. So it's a weird analogy, but the point is dead on. The point is absolutely 100% right.
I remember one of the very first real vacations I ever took when we went to Negril in Jamaica. And I was just like beside myself with glee. I mean, I'm in Jamaica, and like, you know, all that that entails. And I don't forget it, out on a dock with these other vacation goers, and they were from Australia. And they're like, oh, how long are you here? They're like, 7 days, six nights.
Flex.
They're like, ah, that's no vacation. We're here for a month. You get me? Yeah, yeah. And like a month. They're like, minimum a month. We might stay longer. Like, Sunday felt like crap.
It's open-ended, Mike. We don't have to be back if you don't want to.
He's so spot on. I've never met an Australian who is on a vacation for less than a month.
Yeah. No.
Ever.
They don't do it.
No. And they're probably happier.
I mean, we don't rank very high in happiness, generally speaking, when we're asked. And you like look around the European countries. They have the mandatory minimum vacation days that you're talking about, Ranjay. One of my best friends lives in France. They get months of time off. Like, when they go on a summer vacation, it's never less than 2 weeks.
One of my buddies he was the GM of the Four Seasons over here for a few years. We became real close. Now he's in charge of like half the country, and he's from France, and so is his wife. And we had a great talk one night, and he said, he's like, I love France, but France was not for me. Mm-hmm. He's like, and here, you'll love this part. He's like, I'm a go-getter. I'm an A personality, like you, Dave. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Just like me.
You got me figured out.
Compared to the French you are.
Yeah. No, that's a good point, actually.
He goes, in France, if you want to be middle of the road and just live your life and have dinner at 10 p.m. and be kind of ordinary, France is your place. If you want to excel and be special, you come to America. And I'm like, how do you get into France? Because that was way more my speed.
Yeah. I mean, in my experience in Italy, it was kind of the same idea. And I haven't been to every country, but in the three or four, there was one trip there. I was in a couple. That was the vibe. The vibe was, we're just going to be happy. We're just going to be happy every day. Like, that's our goal. And then there are the others that are like your friend that you're talking about that are more driven, which is, I think, more common here. But is it more common here by nature, or is it more common here because it's what we're surrounded by?
Yeah, I don't know that it's more common here by nature.
Yeah.
I think, at least my age, I have a feeling that Gen Z's growing up differently, and maybe even younger millennials. But with me, it was you charge hard or you're a loser. Now, it wasn't you have to be a millionaire. It wasn't you have to even be a professional. I grew up very much in like hard hat lunchbox territory.
Right.
But if you didn't work, you were not a man. That's just the way it is.
Well, and that whole idea, I do feel like for Americans who are born here, we're kind of riding the coattails of, you know, the Puritan work ethic and the rugged individualism and innovation. I think a lot of us who have generationally been here are starting to peter out a little bit. Mm. That's more of our history than our current culture. The people, however, who are continuing that tradition, I believe, are immigrants who are coming here and have that older American dream.
Good take.
And they're able to succeed in many ways in this country where hard work, innovation, owning a small business, where they can succeed where they probably couldn't have, or maybe were having a harder time in their home countries, which is why, like, even like on South Grand, you have all of these small businesses and restaurants by immigrants. And so I do think immigrants are bringing that innovation, rugged individualism, because you have to be gutsy.
We needed that as a nation back in the day. I mean, think about it.
There is no choice.
A lot of the institutions and structures that are in places like Italy and France, they're hundreds and hundreds of years old. Their way of life has been around for a long time. We made something out of nothing 200 plus years ago.
And it's time we enjoyed it.
Yeah, let's go.
It's my best friend, Billy Corgan.
Oh, yeah.
He's texting. Shh.
You guys really hit it off.
It's like, thanks for playing the song, Dave.
You're so cool. He's tall.
Does he sign it like BFF, best friend forever?
It's a secret
fist
thing
bump
do.
Thing, like, you know.
I wrote this song about you. I wrote most of the songs about you.
Christy Gnome. Christy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
What the hell? Okay, so I really thought this was a joke. I didn't think this could possibly be true, that she shot her puppy on purpose because it wasn't a great hunting dog and she hated it. I'm like, no way that's true. And then I found out it is true, and she wrote about it, and then she doubled down on it. And now a lot of Republicans have her back. This is what's wrong with the world. This is an easy one. You know, like when Elaine Stefanik was asking the head of Harvard, is it wrong to be anti-Semitic? And she's like, oh, kind of depends. She's like, no, the answer is yes. The answer here is that's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful. All you have to do is, you're Kristi Noem. All you have to do is put out one message saying, hey, I got a hunting dog. It's not the greatest hunting dog, but it's a real sweet pea. Who wants it? That dog is gone in 10 minutes.
Yes.
This is so easy.
Yes.
Or, hey, what do you think of this person who you support who killed her puppy because it wasn't efficient for her? The answer is that's horrible.
Okay, I have to defend her a little bit here. From what I had read, the dog was aggressive. I'm not saying it's okay that she put it down, but it's not like it's just like, oh, this dog isn't what I want it to be, so therefore now
right. She's, but also, and I
heard that it attacked a kid. And I know a neighbor's dog. But the thing is, okay, there was a German Shepherd that had attacked multiple joggers and then attacked a kid, like grabbed the kid, and they ended up putting the dog down. But it was also a vet. You know what I mean? Like, if you have to take that step, which is sad, do it at a vet. And then also, like, don't, like, write about, like, oh, I
don't
dragged
brag
him
about
behind
it.
The barn right. and shot him.
Or and then the kid came home and said, where's whatever the dog's name was? How about, since you are Kristi Noem, you can get a dog trainer. If you really think the dog is untrainable, I bet a dog trainer could figure it out.
I mean, it's a 14-month-old dog.
It can be
Give
trained.
Give the dog to someone else that trains dogs. It's an easy solution. And I'm going to say this is the biggest takeaway that I have from it. If you are that cruel, to me, how you treat animals and how you treat children tells me everything I need to know about you. If you are that stupid and cruel, you do not belong in any important office. That's stupid. It's a 14-month-old dog. It is not useless. It does not need to be shot. It can be trained. If you can't or don't want to do it, and you're in that position, it won't be very hard to find someone. I think you're right, Dave. You post one message on social media, you'll have 1,000 requests. I'll take the dog, I'll train it up, I'll take care of it. It's not that hard. And if you are that cruel, then you do not belong.
And it was, I mean, it was very like, if it were like 1830 and you're on a farm and it's like a dog and that's what you did because you were out in the country. I get it. I mean, it sounded like that, but that's not the situation we're in. We had a little tiny dog that was pretty young, but kept attacking. Like this was a big deal. It bit my sister's face. Like, it was bad. And my dad had always said, like, we're getting rid of the dog. He didn't say we're putting it down. He just, we're giving the dog away. And we're like, please, Dad, don't. And then he bit me. Like, he bit my hand really hard. And so we gave him away to someone who was, like, going to work with him. Like, it's 2024.
There are people who do this for a living.
Yeah.
And they're all over the country.
So the moral of that story is it was okay when it bit your sister's face. But
yeah, when it bit Amy.
Once it moved on to Amy.
Yeah, this is not in defense of dogs that bite, by the way. If you have dogs that are biting and in an aggressive way, not play, you know, not in the normal dog play kind of way, then yeah, you need to either take the action yourself to train the dog or give it to someone who will. I mean, there are plenty of people that take on these dogs as projects, and they'll take care of it. They won't charge anything. They'll just take the dog.
Wheels, yeah, feel like having a fight with caller Tim?
I don't care.
All right, we'll wait till after the break because it's time for a break, and you'll need time to fight with Tim. DGS, do you guys want real or stupid? The real isn't politics, it's just real life. And then there's, I got lots of stupid.
I mean, I love stupid, so.
Okay.
And as long as it's not politics, I mean, I'm open-minded.
I said stupid as soon as Maria Aquino walked in the door, and then she made
like,
the slash noise.
Not you, Maria.
Well, whenever Maria Aquino walks in, it's like, has something horrible happened?
That's what I thought too. Like, oh God,
no.
What happened?
Here comes
the
handout.
Here comes the news. The breaking news.
Something horrible has happened.
Oh no.
No, just on the stupid thing. I was at the grocery store this weekend, like probably most people were. How did it take us so long to invent the small cart?
I know, right?
Oh, the snub-nose cart?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's the best.
I love the small
cart. I've not used a big one. I can't remember the last time I used a big one.
I have never used the shorty.
Get out.
No. They're so agile.
Yeah. He goes to Costco.
You're just buzzing in and out of people.
Yeah, I don't know
Are you afraid of being smaller than it?
Maybe. I don't like the idea that I might be able to fit in it.
I love the basket.
Yeah? I'm a hand basket guy for a short trip for sure. Yeah. A lot of times I'm the one
that's why
like
the small cart's perfect. It's right in between.
Yeah,
yes.
It's not really been like
you don't have to carry it.
I don't know. Normally when I get a cart, it's because I think I'm going to need a lot of stuff. Yeah. So in my mind, I'm like, that little one's not going
to
work.
So you're not like a run to the store guy.
Generally, no, but there are times where I'm the guy, I'm like, I'm just going to get four things, and I don't get a cart or a basket, and I got crap in my hand.
I've done that, too.
Like, well, this was stupid.
When you guys misgauge, will you admit defeat and go back and get, like, a cart?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Yep. I don't. I just power through.
No,
I'm wrong.
I admit defeat, but I don't go back and get a cart. I just keep dropping stuff, and I'm like, I'm an idiot.
I know. I got the people at the store, they're like, would you like us to get your cart? I'm like, nope, I'm fine.
I'll tell you what is a great bit to get the full size cart
and get like
go get a can of soup and then go through the checkout and make sure they see it.
Yeah, go through the human bit. Checkout, not the
human checkout. Yes.
Do you guys judge other people's carts when you're in line?
No,
not really.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, the only time I would is the person that's got like six.
I mean the stuff they're getting.
Yeah. Oh, the stuff. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you looking for in order to be judgmental?
I just build stories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Not like I judge them like you're poor, but I just like.
Oh, yeah, not that.
I bet I know somebody else in this room who does that. Want to take a guess?
Kevin.
It's definitely you.
No, I already said I do.
Yeah, shamey. Kentucky Fried Chicken again.
It's just sometimes I'm like.
Oh, wow. I guess it's not just Taco Tuesday for you.
Look at all those sodas.
No. Yes, that's it, Kevin. Sometimes I want to say, wow, that's a lot of soda.
Hey, when it's on sale, you buy it.
Or is that what you drink
every
day?
Are you having a party?
In all honesty, I'm not even going to kid you. Like, that's part of the reason I don't like the snub-nose cart. Because all my drinks won't fit in there when they're on sale.
I would be judging you. I'd be like, "Why are you having a party? Why do you have so much soda?"
It's on sale.
See, I'm less judgy than shamey.
You're just more creating
a billionaire
narrative. Yeah.
Like the other day, I was behind a guy that had nothing. His cart was full to the brim of nothing but Totino's Pizza and Pedialyte.
And I know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Getting ready.
Yeah, he's having a party, and then for the next day, the Pedialyte.
Actually, I was like, he's got a baby, and he's having another kid's birthday, and that's why he's going for that route.
No, he's getting drunk.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's his recovery drink.
Well, it's one or the other.
But sometimes you also see, like Coke and Pepsi or, you know, all these different sodas, and then, like, tons of Doritos and, you know, prepackaged meals, but then, like, organic milk. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
You are so judgy.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Why is that interesting, Amy?
I guess because.
Please, no. Walk
see,
us
I feel
through.
Like
you're going out of your way to buy like really expensive organic milk.
I feel
then
like if you would have had the privilege.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point.
If Amy
it's
had
not
the privilege of living in biblical times, Jesus would have had a one-on-one.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She'd been like, listen, sister. Like,
remember when we were up on the mount the other day? Let's just you and me go for a walk.
Ooh, yeah. Jesus, I've noticed you're drinking a lot of wine.
No, I just noticed.
A lot of wine you're making.
Hey, people are judging me all the time.
Maybe you should make some fish and water.
Well, I was thinking I was going to tell a story from last night, but Ron's just like, that's not a big deal. And then I'm like, well, I'm not going to waste everybody's time.
No, we had nothing else.
We were all sitting on the driveway. Like, there was a group of, like, neighbors, and they were sitting on the driveway.
Sitting on the driveway?
And like an outside party. Like the in chairs, Andrew, if I must specify. And I had a phone call, so I was late showing up. And I've been on this tequila kick because I like tequila. It's more refreshing than bourbon or whatever. And so I show up and the guy's like, here, he's got tequila on ice. And he's like, I don't have any club soda, but I have like a Fresca. I'm like, oh, no, I'll just drink the tequila. And like everybody laughed and they're like, oh, like you just downing straight tequila. Like most people don't drink tequila on the rocks. But I'm like, how is that different? I'm like, well, no, it's a Sunday night. And I was judged so hard for drinking straight tequila on a Sunday night.
Feels bad, doesn't it?
Yeah, how that
feels. I didn't
feel?
Get it. I didn't even feel bad because
that's how Andrew feels when you do the KFC thing.
Yes, but worse.
And I put but worse. Wine in it.
That's actually far more disgusting to drink straight tequila than eat
if
Kentucky
it's good
fried
tequila
chicken
on the rocks with some lime. It
and you're
delicious.
Like, I don't understand why you're judging me. I'm not like Alice with her front butt or Keith with his toupee.
Front butt? What is that?
You know what a front butt is?
No!
Once again, we'll have a one-on-one.
Joe's drinking a Pepsi, and you're going to have a problem with me chugging straight tequila while sitting on the concrete?
I'm going to ask Kevin. Kevin explains things to me sometimes when we're...
Oh, yes. Let's see how this goes. Please, please, Kevin.
I mean, I'm not doing that on the air. I'm sorry.
I have to ask Mason Jar something, and he's like, oh, my
go
gosh.
Ask Mason Jar.
Do you want me to explain what the front butt is?
No, no, no. I want her to ask Mason Jar. I want to hear what he says.
Okay.
What was that?
Yeah. He's wheezing.
It's like a... Yeah, I'm getting out of control.
Andrew's demon just jumped in the wheeler.
You can have him.
That's the laugh. Demon.
Let her ask Mason Jar. I want to see what he said.
Laugh demon. I don't know why it sounded like Harvey Fierstein.
It really did.
That's so wrong.
You know what? I think I saw a ghost in the bathroom.
Yes.
Here?
I did.
Wait,
yes.
Wait, yes?
Yeah, today. So...
You sure it wasn't just me?
Was it small and brown?
I could... Oh, no. It wasn't you.
It was Mr. Hinky.
No.
Yuck.
I'm at the urinal.
I suspect that may not have been a ghost after all, Chris. I've got wonderful news.
No. It was definitely a ghost.
Was there schmutz
on the urinal? No. There was no schmutz.
I smell sulfur.
There was movement. There was
That's
movement.
What wait, in wait, the bathroom. Like
not a. It wasn't a B movement. It was just movement.
Oh, you're gonna explain front butt, but you're afraid to say bowel.
Why would?
Yeah,
the bowel movement. No. So I'm at the urinal. There's somebody else in there. They leave.
Yeah.
And they go. So I'm on the left. They're on the right. The door's on the right. They go that way. Out of the corner of my left eye, I swear somebody came in and walked into a stall past me because I saw the door move after it.
All right.
And then I didn't hear any noise. Like, I didn't hear a TP or the door shut and lock. And I go wash my hands and I'm looking back there like, who's in here?
And I know what happened.
And I actually looked under the stall. I did. I'm like, somebody's in here.
Someone was. It was Wiggins. He calls it gargoyling. He likes to go in there and sit on the toilet like a gargoyle.
That had to have been it.
And he makes ghost noises.
There was no noise.
I like believe you.
I'm telling you, there's a ghost.
I thought, oh, really?
You're That's minimizing weird. My ghost.
You've been gargoyled.
I mean, given this building, would it be that shocking?
No. No, I've seen way worse than ghosts in that bathroom.
A lot more scary, yeah.
Remember the time when something horrible happened in there and Trish took a picture of it?
Yes. And she made all of us look at it.
And we're like, you did it.
She made the client look at it. We had R&R Sanitation come in that day, and she made them look at the...
Yeah.
That's the last thing R&R wants to look at.
I know. They're like, we're off work. Don't make us...
We don't want to talk about work.
I won't say where it was, but Ronj and I were somewhere... For a remote, and as we were leaving, he went into the men's bathroom and then came out just like he had seen a ghost. And he's like, you gotta come in here and see this. I'm like, I'm not going in the men's bathroom. And he's like, you've gotta come in here. And he like brought me to, I'm like, I can't do it. I'm like, also, I don't wanna be grossed out. So he found a worker. He's like, you gotta come in here and see this.
It was bad.
It was awesome.
Was it?
It was pretty good.
No. Impressive or terrible?
Both.
Oh.
Both.
Okay, like there's
I think Amy really might throw up.
I actually
keep going.
Started to get that like wave of nausea. Oh,
I chased down this worker and I said, look, I'm not this is not a complaint. I just want you to see
Did
this.
Did you make it clear that it wasn't you?
Yeah, okay. Well, of course.
Can you just be clear?
Because if it was, we would have gotten out of there as quickly as possible. I would have been like, Amy, let's go right now.
Start the car.
Yeah.
Amy, let's go, but first look at this.
It was unbelievable. It's like a cow went in there.
Stop! Stop!
You're one away from pushing her over the edge.
Chris, what color was it?
Dude.
No, don't do that.
Come
I don't
on,
hear
Andrew?
That either.
I love that Amy just covered her headphones like she was covering her ears.
Andrew, I don't see color.
Talk a little bit of sports. Not what you're expecting, though. The NFL has the safety caps. You've probably seen them. Big, puffy, bulbous kind of mushroom head looking things that the NFL players have been wearing during practices the past couple of years. They've now okayed them to be worn during games, and it seems to be very, very divisive. Some guys want to wear them. Some guys don't. The statistics I've seen is that it reduces concussions by 50%. I'm sure that's not exactly accurate, but it seems to be an aid. What do you guys think?
I mean, it'll look funny.
Yeah.
I don't
care about the look. If there's science that shows that it's better for the players, then we just need to get over the look. I mean,
is the look the main objection?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks ridiculous. Everybody's making the great gazoo jokes, yes, from the Flintstones and things like that. Fine. I would rather that players have normal cognitive lives after their careers.
Right.
Because this is not, I mean, yes, it is about concussions, but it's about subconcussive hits too. Because for every concussion, you probably have what, Ranj? A few thousand subconcussive hits.
That, like, you don't know it's happening.
You don't need, yeah, right. It's just a constant. That's what the CTE comes from. It comes from the every single play, your brain shakes a little bit inside your head. And that adds up over 10, 15, 20 years from the time you're a little kid all the way to the time you end up retiring from the NFL or finishing in college or high school or whatever. And the concussions are one thing, and they've reduced concussions quite a bit through a lot of rules changes and things along those lines. And the story here is that these supposedly reduce the force from the head contact by 10% if one of the two players is wearing it, and then 20% if they're both wearing it. I don't know if they have given us the data, though, on the subconcussive hits. Like, if you're not getting hit at all and you fall, your brain shakes inside your head. So whether it's a head-to-head hit or not, when you run into another person, your head goes back, your brain hits the inside of your skull. Now, the violence at which that happens is what's going to generate the injury. So if this is reducing that, and I haven't seen that, but maybe that's the point, then yes, great. They can look ridiculous. Who cares?
It'll look ridiculous unless they
all do it.
Unless everybody does it, unless they alter the way those things look. Because right now they're just black, and they look very conspicuous,
yeah,
on top
sure
of the helmet.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll make them to match the color of the team.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe make them a little bit less padded to make them a little smaller. I don't know. But I think if players start using it, we'll just get used to it. It's that simple. We'll just get used to it.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, think about it. There was a long time where NHL players refused to wear helmets.
Well, look at they changed the helmet law in Missouri for motorcycles. And since they have, motorcycle deaths have gone up 47%. I mean, it's just absolutely predictable. And the main reason there, too, part of it is sort of like a freedom thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. You can't tell me what to do. But a lot of it's looks. People think you look like a mushroom head. So they don't wear the helmets.
I mean, again, in your own day-to-day life, when it only impacts you, do what you want. But when you're talking about this impacts everybody around you. If you're the guy not wearing it, you're bringing down the effectiveness of those things.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Is there any concern that wearing something like this is going to make people hit harder than they were previously?
Also a good question.
I don't think they can hit harder than they currently do.
Okay.
And the other rules changes have limited the type of hits that we'd be talking about, the leading with your head, the flying.
I was with Bulger and some other players one time, a long time ago, and they said they should go back to leather helmets because no one would, they would go out of their way not to hit.
It would be like rugby.
Right.
Yeah.